Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, hope you're having a great day. Off to an interesting start here, as always. And did you have a nice Mother's Day? That's my question for you. Did you enjoy your Mother's Day? Are you looking forward to Father's Day? And if the answer to either one or both of those is yes, we had a nice Mother's Day. We're looking forward to a nice Father's Day coming up. And if that's you, well, you're just creating pain. Let me just tell you that. According to one writer out there, and you say one writer and think, yeah, it's just one person, Steve. No, I think this is probably going to catch some, momentum as the world continues to fold in on itself, especially when it comes to moral issues. Pro-transgender writer Change Painful, Mother's Day and Father's Day to Guardians Day. And so, yes, if you enjoyed Mother's Day yesterday, apparently it's time for you to repent. If you're looking forward to Father's Day coming up in the near future, you don't need to. You can avoid the repentance. Just don't do it, right? So that's just the world that we live in. And get over it, right? That's just the deal. That and several other crazy stories today. And some of them good. And some of them frustrating like this. So we're just going to work on that. We're going to work through this. I'm trying to type something here to my producer while I'm talking to you, which maybe I used to be able to do that. But now as I age, I'm starting to have more difficulty with multitasking. Is it just me or is it anybody else? Okay, anyway, welcome to the show. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. So I'm going to talk about this particular story. This one, again, we could laugh it off and say it's ridiculous, and I will remember that I need to care about the ignorant person, most likely in spiritual darkness, that wrote this thing. It is a common thread that's out there, and as we continue down this moral implosion road, you're going to see stuff like this will fold in on itself, and all of a sudden you're going to get the gay and lesbian community is going to be having a problem with the transgender community, and that's just what's going to happen. Because when you start to get rid of moral norms, you get into moral chaos, moral anarchy, and then the thing is, this is what happens. So imagine, let's say right now, you're out there driving, you're listening to Call to Action Radio, that's awesome, you're out there driving, and I snap my fingers, and boom! Every stoplight, every stop sign, every yield sign, all the markings on the road, all of it, it's all gone. So there is no absolute truth on the road. Okay, the rules of the road, take that little magazine, that little brochure, that little book, and just chuck it, okay? Get rid of it. And then all of a sudden, what's going to happen out there on the highways and the byways and the local roads and the highways? Who's going to win that battle when you get rid of all the rules? So we want no absolute truth. We want no moral truth, no moral. That's why we hate God, by the way, because he brings the moral standard into every conversation. So you get rid of that. And what do you have? You have chaos. You have anarchy. And eventually you have might makes right. So your smart car, not so smart anymore. Okay, your smart car is trashed underneath some guy's F-150 or F-250, and then the F-150 or the F-250 gets trashed by the tractor trailer, the Hummer, whatever, and that's what happens. That's where you go. So we're going to talk about this, and that's kind of the backdrop of this story. So the transgender writer, Change Painful, Mother's Day and Father's Day to Guardian Day. We'll talk about that. Then some good news, and this is what we need to see more of. Christian company does not have to make gay pride T-shirts. Kentucky appeals court rules. This won't stop there. I guarantee you that. This will not stop there. They're going to keep running it up the flagpole until they get it to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. I don't know if Kentucky's in the Fourth Circuit. I'd have to look that up. But if it's in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is so liberal, is going to fine for the human rights campaign, the pro-homosexual agenda. They're going to fine for them, and then it's going to get booted up again. I hope it gets to the Supreme Court so we can get some finality on this madness once and for all. But I want to talk about that story. And speaking of controversial matters, Miss USA Kara McCullough has sparked controversy. And no, it's not for anything that you would guess. It was her answer to a couple of questions. One question about healthcare. Uh-oh. And another question about feminism. Uh-oh. Again. So what did Miss USA, from Washington, D.C., by the way, what did she say that sparks the controversy? We'll get to that. I want to make sure I mention what just happened over the weekend with North Korea. That is a very real threat. Wars and rumors of wars. We have to be paying attention to that. So I want to get to that story eventually. And then a little bit about the Supreme Court rejects an appeal to reinstate North Carolina voter ID law. Because apparently it's just too radical, too hateful, too maniacal to require anybody to prove they're actually a citizen of that voting district, that city, that state, that country even, to then allow them to vote. So there's some nuances in that story, so I'll explain that as well, the Supreme Court. And because I live here in the great state of North Carolina, I want to make sure I talk about that one. By the end of the show, I want to get to something. I've never read anything like this before. I've never read an open, kind of an open letter, an open discussion, this one written by Ravi Zacharias, about one of his great speakers that's part of the Ravi Zacharias International Ministry, Nabil Qureshi, who's been fighting a very aggressive form of cancer. A young man came out of Islam and born again, and just an incredible apologist, an incredible preacher, who will be in the near future dying. And he's been kind of cataloging this and talking about it through YouTube and through Facebook and social media and some of the Ravi Zacharias ministry platforms. And this is an incredible post that Ravi Zacharias put out there. Nabil spent several days with kind of the head leadership. They had people from every continent in this group with Ravi Zacharias. And just a beautiful and painful and difficult story and this letter. And he eventually writes directly, specifically to Nabil. They spent this time together recently. And I'm going to share this because I think we all need to be reminded that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And this is one of those areas when we face trials and tribulations and pain and loss and confusing circumstances where we have to remember that we walk by faith, not by sight. And this is one of those opportunities where I think God would have us be good stewards of our affliction. So I will finish the show today by reading this post from Ravi Zacharias entitled Torn Emotions, A Visit with Nabil Qureshi, who will be going home to be with the Father in the near future. And they had, what would you do with that time? Final time with a brother or sister in the Lord who's going to be leaving earth sooner than anybody expected, leaving a wife and family behind. How do you handle that? We'll hear from Ravi Zacharias by the end of the show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you again live the day after Mother's Day. And if you enjoyed yesterday, like I said earlier, you need to repent. By the way, and I'll explain that in a second. By the way, tomorrow, I'm really looking forward to my guest tomorrow. He's going to be with me for the whole hour. J. Warner Wallace was a homicide detective who decided to investigate the claims of the Gospels. He was an atheist homicide detective out on the West Coast. And so a friend invited him to church, and he finally relented and went to church. And he was an atheist. And then, you know, there was something there. God was doing something. He was a little interested. So he started reading the Gospels. And in reading the Gospels, he's like, this reads a lot like eyewitness accounts. And this is a guy that dealt with homicide investigations and then cold case homicide investigations. So things that had been kind of swept under the rug or not finished. They couldn't find the killer. Unsolved cases, 10, 20, 30 years old. And he applies all that expertise to all of a sudden to the Gospels. An incredible book, which then led to his conversion, to him going, listen, I've applied every rule we have to trying and convicting criminals and in a court of law underneath all the auspices and all the conditions that we have in the U.S. judicial system. It's a high bar, especially with a cold case situation. And he came to the he had no other place to go other than These are true accounts. They're corroborated both inside and outside the Gospels. And this is true. And it, since this is true, this changes everything. So I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's J. Warner Wallace. So he'll be on with me tomorrow for the entire show talking about cold case Christianity. Super excited about that. I'll finish reading the book tonight. And then J. Warner Wallace will be with me tomorrow. So that'll be awesome. So let's go back to this story. In case you enjoyed Mother's Day yesterday, I want to take care of that for you and get you right. Pro-transgender writer, change painful Mother's Day and Father's Day to Guardians Day. A columnist for the Toronto Star has suggested a name change for Mother's Day and Father's Day, calling the pair of spring events gendered holidays that have proven painful, exclusionary, and a drag for non-binary parents who don't identify with a single gender. That last sentence in and of itself is a whopper, right? Pun intended, I guess. Drag for non-binary parents who don't identify with a single gender. So you, how many genders can you identify with at one time, class? How many genders do you actually possess at one time? Now, there is the hermaphrodite. That is a birth defect. It's very rare, born with kind of both sets of genitalia, and then you got a tough situation. But it's a birth defect. It's not something that requires a decision and help from society for you to determine who you think you should be. But this is from this article that showed up in the Blaze, Glenn Beck's website. Some of these parents have even begun advocating online for the creation of a brand new holiday to recognize parents who aren't male or female. Emma Title writes, and that's a serious sentence showing up in a serious publication in 2017 for parents who aren't male or female. Right. So now what are you talking about? Are we talking about plants? Are we talking about animals? Are we talking about insects of some sort, some kind of amoeba? No, they're talking about human beings. None of these critics have proposed scrapping Mother's Day or Father's Day altogether, but I'm beginning to wonder if that's exactly what we should do. Title also notes the difficulty Mother's Day and Father's Day are for those who've lost their parents or don't have good relationships with them, as well as the stressful burden the annual days to honor parents have become. You may love everyone in your family, and you may love brunch, she says, but if you don't get to see your loved ones and eat your breakfast in bed on your own terms at a time of your choosing, then Mother's Day can be a burden rather than a boon. Oh, my goodness. Are we that? Talk about the snowflake moniker. Are we that breakable? Are we that fragile that other people can have a nice day and because it doesn't really fit you well, now we have to just trash it? See, this type of self-centeredness, this type of idolatry cannot last for long, because now all these groups, if no one can do anything, then you have no freedom. It's all gone. And then what? Then what do you celebrate? Nothing. Because to celebrate anything is exclusionary, right? So you can't celebrate because not everybody on the planet can celebrate at the same time. So that's unfair. So you have to do away with every celebration. That's where this goes. Let's see, which is why Title proposes that we scrap both Mother's Day and Father's Day for good. And in the spirit of both inclusivity and selfishness, I'd like to propose a new holiday called Guardians Day. She says that, listen to this. This is serious. This is in a newspaper. She says that Guardians Day has a nice sci-fi fantasy ring to it. Because of Guardians of the Galaxy, right? That's a great reason. And will be a rotating statutory holiday, meaning you can celebrate it any day you please, and you can interpret it any way you like. A guardian can be a mom, a dad, a non-binary parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a pet owner, or why the heck not, somebody who takes really good care of his houseplants. Well, hold on a second. If on the one hand we say that to celebrate Mother's Day or Father's Day isn't great for everybody and excludes some people, then how can you then turn around and embrace this Guardians Day, which you can do anything with it you want? But I don't have houseplants, so now I'm excluded from being able to celebrate houseplants like the other person can celebrate their great relationship with their house. It's just madness, but this is where it goes. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. This is the crazy world in which we live in, which is continuing to push itself further and further away from the truth. So what do you get? You get insanity. Now, here's on the flip side of this type of issue. This is a good story. This is from the Christian Post. A three-judge panel on the Kentucky Court of Appeals ruled 2-1 on Friday last week that Hands On Originals, a T-shirt company, could not be forced to make T-shirts for an event its owner was morally opposed to on religious grounds. The panel upheld an earlier decision from the Fayette Circuit Court in favor of HOO and against an LGBT group and the Lexington Fayette Urban County Human Rights Commission. Human rights commissions can be very dangerous. Nothing in the Fairness Ordinance prohibits HOO, a private business, from engaging in viewpoint or message censorship, read the panel's decision. Thus, although the menu of services HLO provides, that's the t-shirt company, to the public is accordingly limited and censors certain points of view, it is the same limited menu it offers to every customer and is not therefore prohibited by the fairness ordinance. In his dissent, Judge Jeff Taylor concluded that the business had indeed violated the local ordinance and thus engaged in unlawful discrimination against homosexuals by refusing to print the shirts. Quote, the facts in this case clearly establish that HOO's conduct, the refusal to print the t-shirts, was based upon gays and lesbians promoting a gay pride festival in Lexington, which violated the fairness ordinance, argued Taylor. Finally, it's important to note that the speech that HOO sought to censor was not obscene or defamatory. Who says it wasn't obscene? Gay pride parade, gay pride, gay, in its current context, is obscene if you're a Christian and hold to a biblical worldview. There was nothing obnoxious, inflammatory, false, or even pornographic. Actually, it was all of those things. But that's me, crazy Christian, right? Wanted to place on the t-shirts, which would justify restricting their speech under the First Amendment. So this goes all the way back. 2012 is when this started. And so the Human Rights Campaign jumped on board, providing the money and the attorneys and going after them. And this is still going on. And it will, I'm telling you right now, it definitely will get appealed. And it will head up the food chain. Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council said this ruling affirms our nation's long history of protecting Americans from being compelled by the government to advocate a message to which one objects. We hope to hear soon that the U.S. Supreme Court will accept the Masterpiece Cake Shop case and ensure that the owner, Jack Phillips, will be free to follow his religious beliefs without fear of punishment by the government. And yes, I know that Donald Trump signed the executive order last week. And there's some good intent there, but no teeth, okay? He's just saying, hey, we're going to vigorously apply the laws that exist today. But this kind of stuff is going to keep happening. Would you make the black t-shirt owner create a t-shirt for the KKK rally that says, we hate the N-word? Of course not. And so we need to learn to apply that type of logic and fairness across the board. But when you're a Christian, good luck with that. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you as always. Moving along here at the madness of the day, which is just, that's just the world we live in. And so my encouragement to you, as well as I have to encourage myself, is be very careful at how much intake any of us has on the news cycle. Because most of it's crazy, it's especially if you have a right-minded Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, it's just maddening. Now, it's maddening, it's enraging, makes you angry, you get frustrated, you get disgusted oftentimes. But let's not sell our joy down the river when the world is doing what the world has always done since the days of Noah. So it's not like this is new information, like, oh my gosh, the world's never been like this before. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. It's been messed up like this for a few thousand years. But now, because of technology, it's just more in your face and coming at you all the time. But you think life would have been simple and no big deal back in the Roman Empire, back in those days, the early days of the church? No, we just have social media and all the other stuff now that it's just coming at you 24/7 from every different direction that you can imagine. And so it seems to be getting worse. I think it's speeding up because of technology. But there's nothing new under the sun. Solomon was absolutely right when he wrote that in the book of Ecclesiastes over and over again. There's nothing new under the sun. And that's absolutely true because the earth is still inhabited by human and people, right? So that's just the deal. All right, Miss USA, but I want to get to this torn emotions because I've got David Fisher, our friend from Landmark Capital, calling in for the last segment of the show. And I want to make sure I read you this from Ravi Zacharias about Nabil Qureshi, an incredible man of God who will be facing the Lord. Sooner than anybody thought, young man dying of cancer who's been on Ravi's staff. So let me just do this one real quick. Miss USA Kara McCullough sparks controversy. What did she do? Well, she was asked during Sunday night's pageant whether she thinks that affordable health care for all U.S. citizens is a right or a privilege. You can see where this is going, can't you? As a government employee, I'm granted health care, and I see firsthand that for one to have health care, you need to have jobs, the 24-year-old shared. Uh-oh, you can't go down that road. So she said it's a privilege. Later in the competition, she also asked what she considers feminism to be and whether she considers herself a feminist. McCullough said that she likes to transpose the word feminism to equalism. So not equal outcomes, just equal opportunity, right? So she goes with equalism instead of feminism. That also got her in trouble. Now, in this Fox News article, after that, they go, oh, not everybody agreed. And then they just quote, they put in here, a bunch of random tweets from, it's going to sound horrible, nobodies. These aren't big-time commentators, political leaders, culture shapers. They're just liberal U.S. citizens. One tweet after another. I'm like, why is that news when regular blokes out there have a problem with it? And then that goes into Fox News as if that gives it some credibility. Well, there's Miss Black SAV in her tweet. And then there's Katie at Micro Boston. And then there's Betsy at Betsy FFJ. I'm like, why do these comments matter? It's just part of the narrative. And then I think Fox News does it just like everybody else. Let's get the conservatives going because that's where our bread and butter is. Let's put this red meat out there and we'll put some incendiary comments from some confused liberals mad at Miss USA because she believes that healthcare is not a right. And then that'll be a good story. It'll move. And maybe I'm just too cynical now after all these years on the radio. I don't know. But that's just like, okay, let's just quote any Tom, Dick, and Harry out there who has a Twitter account. That's great. That's not news. That's just revenue generating, okay? North Korea threat. U.S. monitoring claim missile could carry nuclear warheads. So let's make sure, friends, because I want to get to this Ravi Zacharias thing. Let's make sure we're keeping our president and our leadership in prayer as these issues with North Korea and China and Russia and the Middle East. We need to, according to scripture, pray 1tim2.org, a website I mention often, run by my good friend Jim Young, Capital Commission. Pray 1tim2.org. Go there, pick your state, get an email every day. I get it every day, super early in the morning, so I see it, and it gives me 6 or 7 elected officials to pray for. And we need to be doing that all the time. Especially given at the federal level with the things that President Trump and everybody else up there is dealing with, they need our prayers. It's serious business, okay? Pray 1tim2.org. Let's make sure we're praying for wisdom when it comes to dealing with crazy North Korea. Okay, this is from Ravi Zacharias about Nabil Qureshi. I do not ever recall being part of a meeting like this one. The love, the healing, the soul-wrenching heartache, the unstoppable tears, and finally, the hugs, the prayers, and the farewell. My colleague Stuart McAllister summed it up in one sentence. It was a moment in church history to remember. It was the Ravi Zacharias International Ministry speaking team's preliminary goodbye to our teammate, Nabil Qureshi. I had recently been with Nabil in Malaysia, where he preached with such anointing and power. People were moved and lives were changed. After we came back, he asked me if he could attend our annual itinerant team meeting, as he viewed us as his family. I was torn by the request because with each passing day, he was hanging on by a more slender thread. The last thing I wanted to happen was for his final breath to be taken while he was away from his precious wife and daughter. But he was confident he would be fine to make the trip. Our itinerants all gathered, about 70 of us from every continent. Nabil spoke to us on the opening morning. He told us that the doctors had given up hope and that there would be no surgical intervention. Medicine feels it has done all it can. It has been the privilege of Ravi Zacharias International Ministries to cover Nabil's medical expenses and carry him and his family through this entire treatment since the discovery of the cancer. RZIM's generous donors have been more than willing to help us bear the financial costs, which is small in comparison to the emotional and physical agony, to say nothing of the shock of it all, that he and his family are facing. To his fellow itinerants, Nabil came to say, "Thank you. I love you all, and if I have ever hurt anyone, I ask for forgiveness. Most important, my faith is stronger than ever in my Savior, and whatever lies ahead, I will take it as God's will." Then he said, "You will probably not see me speaking in public anymore, and I bid you all goodbye." He then looked in my direction to share his final words of affection to me and bid us goodbye. I was too overcome to say anything. This is Ravi Zacharias writing about Nabil Qureshi, a young man on his staff who's soon to be with the Lord, just a terrible case of cancer. Our meeting was not without scriptural precedent. It brought to mind the farewell address to the Ephesian elders from Paul, one of the greatest evangelist apostles the world has ever known, and I shared that scripture with the team. Acts 20, 36-38 tells us that after Paul finished speaking to the elders, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Is our Lord still able to heal Nabil? Yes. With his winsome smile, he himself said, "Yes, he is, even after I'm in the ground for 3 days." At the same time, he realizes that his body is giving way. He is torn between what seems imminent and what is always possible with God. Recognizing that tension myself, this is again Ravi Zacharias writing, I didn't want to wait to write this because I wish to pay tribute to probably one of the finest preachers I have ever known. I love him as a son and have walked with him as a colleague. My dearest Nabil, now again, this is from Ravi Zacharias. I love you, dear friend, and my heart aches to see you leaving this world so soon. But if it is of any comfort, you have so far lived the same number of years as our Lord and Redeemer. What is more, the world is a mess. We are still trapped by the fears of living in a world immersed in hate and living for matter, greed, pride, and violence. You will be freed to the joy of life where there are no more fears, no more tears, no more hate, no more bloodshed, because you will be with the one who has already shed his blood for you, where love is supreme, grace abounds, and the consummate joy is of the soul. The smile of God awaits you. Well done. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9 promises that. Your eyes will now see and your hands will now touch that which is the only real estate. My heart goes to a hymn I heard at my grandmother's funeral. I was only 9 years old then. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O Lord, who changes not, abide with me. I need your presence every passing hour. What but your grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like yourself my guide and strength can be? Through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me. I fear no foe with you at hand to bless, though ills have weight and tears their bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where, grave, your victory? I triumph still if you abide with me. Hold now your word before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Farewell, my dear Nabil. If we don't see you in the near future, we will see you in the eternal pasture. With our love, Ravi, and the entire Ravi Zacharias International Ministry team. And what do you say to something like that? That is the reality that we all strive for, that we hope for, that we grasp onto in the darkness and brokenheartedness of this world and loss and decay, in the ravages of injustice and cancer and broken families and broken marriages and lost children and prodigals. That's the hope that we cling to. And I'm just, thank you, Lord, for somebody like Ravi and somebody like Nabil who point us once again to the fact that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. I hope you have the hope of heaven in you. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. I just loved reading that post by Ravi Zacharias, Torn Emotions, A Visit with Nabil Qureshi. I just put that up on my Facebook page where we've got our Facebook Live friends, part of the show right now. So if you want to check that out, and that poem that Ravi heard as a young lad at a funeral, and just a beautiful poem, a really difficult story, but just beautiful to see the body of Christ coming around an individual like that. So I put that up at the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio. And a little thing there that I wanted to bring up, and then we'll get to our buddy David Fisher from Landmark Capital with a Money Monday update. And that, because I've been talking about MediShare off and on during the show, and they're a partner here, not only with the show, but also Truth Radio Network, where many of you are listening. And you may have noticed, if you heard the article I just read by Ravi Zacharias, that he talked about all the people and the donors and everybody at his ministry had been paying for Nabil Qureshi's medical expenses. So the body of Christ comes together. They don't use health insurance, and they come together and they can pay for one another's health care costs. What a novel idea. Like the book of Acts. You could go find the basis for that, obviously, throughout the scripture, but specifically in the book of Acts, which is why, you know, not just financially, how it's been a big blessing to the Noble family. We've been MediShare users for 5 years now. But just the thought of that, the body of Christ working across the country, like I've mentioned many times before, since 1993, MediShare, over $1 billion in medical expenses shared by fellow Christians. It's just a beautiful not-for-profit story about that really started all the way back in the first century with the early church taking care of one another. We don't have to have health insurance. We don't need the government. We have the body of Christ. We have what we need. God's already given it to us. So please check out MediShare. I know you'll be blessed by it. 855-BIBLE-11 is their number. 855-BIBLE-11, also now available in Montana. Give them a call and find out why it's been such a blessing to the Noble family. 855-BIBLE-11 for our friends at MediShare. But let's go to our buddy David Fisher calling in with a Money Monday update. David, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. And you, Steve?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. And one of my favorite people in the New Testament, Peter, you're going to take us down the road here a little bit, 1 Peter 2:9, who was either putting his foot up the backside of somebody with his admonishment or in his own mouth. I can definitely relate to the Apostle Peter.
Sometimes he does both, too. but it says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Wow.
You know, that's really Easter all over, and we get to walk on earth, but live in heaven, in essence, and we are definitely a royal priesthood, and there's many areas of darkness that he needs to bring us into his light, and that can happen spiritually, where we need to have more light in our lives. Also can happen socially, can happen financially and economically, and I think I have a couple of things of nuggets of truth. One specific that's going to, I had my eyes open here as I was studying over the weekend and today, that some darkness brought to light at what the government is doing, ironically.
Yeah. Yeah. And the beautiful thing about this is the great thing about scripture, there's always present day application, but there's always this overarching meta narrative, David, that just soars and reminds us, despite health troubles, financial troubles, national troubles, international troubles, which we talk about a lot of things that are very concerning to us, as we should. But we also have that promise, that hope of heaven, that something like 1 Peter 2:9 reminds us about, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Hey, that's in the bank, baby. And that should affect our joy and just how we deal with a world that's broken and challenges like on the financial front, which we'll talk about. But man, that overriding joy that the world cannot take away from us, that we need that reminder often. Thanks so much for bringing that to us today.
Absolutely.
Well, let's jump across the pond real quick. And Europe, which is a changing landscape, it seems, pretty much on a weekly basis. But what's going over there? What's going on over there financially that we need to pay attention to?
Well, it's actually good news, Steve. The Euro stock index, the Euro stocks 50, which is the top 50 stocks in Europe that trades, equivalent of the Dow, in other words, is up about twice as much as the Dow year-to-date, 10.7%. And they're just having a great market happening in Europe. But now when things become too far along and moving upward and not enough fundamentals to back that movement, but based upon sheer belief that it's going to get so much better, the economies of the world, what's happening right now is equity strategists are calling for the cooling down of the prospects of further gains in European stocks. And, this is on the backstop or the backlash of investors just literally have poured record amounts of money into that region in the equity fund. So the strategists, European strategists, and even some American economists are saying this market's a little bit too far out there as far as its growth, and we might have a pullback.
Yeah, and then bringing that kind of mindset over here to the domestic side, again, there's not a whole lot of earth-shaking news in the U.S. The markets are somewhat flat, having a pretty good day today, up 85 points. But are there similar reports or things that we can rely on, David, that warns us of kind of these economic downturn, a pulling back here in the U.S.?
Well, there's actually more talking points of a downturn that are even more stronger in their verbiage, coming for even more mainstream people. Jamie Dimon, who is a CEO of a company here, one of the largest banks, and he has his annual letter, a 45-page letter, and he comes out and he says that the economy is really not growing too much this last decade or two. In fact, over the 50 years of looking at it, it's very slow in its growth, and we've had the middle class shrinking. And he says that America is on a relentless debt binge. And he's saying right now, looking forward, that something is drastically wrong in the U.S. And, you know, he cites a lot of reports like we're getting a D-plus by the Society of Civil Engineers on the infrastructure conditions of our highways and byways. So we want to spend a lot to fix things, and that's what President Trump wants to do, yet the debt is ever ballooning. And so he's saying in this environment with the middle class shrinking, we're having, it's a recipe for some major financial calamities coming. Ray Dalio, who's a hedge fund manager, he's one of the 30 richest people in America, and according to a magazine that says he's the top 100 to listen to and trust, he's calling for a next major downturn, and he says it's going to be real bad. He says the economy is now at or it's near best that we've seen in some time. And we're on the horizon for a pullback in the next year or two. That will be significant, he says.
Significant, to say the least. We're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is their website. Incredible information and education so that you can be prepared for these things that are inevitably coming at us as we deal with the a really difficult market, a challenging market, and the use of precious metals to diversify and provide you some stability as we go through this crazy world that we live in. LandmarkGold.com is their website, or their phone number, as always, 844-879-8882. And the Treasury Secretary, Donald Trump's Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, he's going to be speaking this Thursday before the Senate Banking Committee. Anything we should be on the lookout for that?
I am so flabbergasted and floored what might hopefully happen. He's going to talk about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Holy moly.
43% of all mortgages Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have run through their books through the underwriter. Of course, they got in trouble 2008, and we bailed them out. And the government took over, and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac has 20% of its stock is held privately. But we bailed them out to a tune of $187 billion plus a 10% dividend repayment fee, which totaled $206 billion. That was the agreement that the Treasury struck with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Well, in 2012, Steve, here's what I found out. They changed the terms, the Treasury did. They said, you're going to keep paying not just 10% anymore, but 100% of the revenue of dividends is going to go to the Treasury. So shareholders get zero. There was a lawsuit that was filed by shareholders as a result, which got shot down in court. And in early 2015, February, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac paid back 100% of their money, and so, which is $206 billion, and so far they paid back $239 billion, and now the Treasury is coming out and saying we haven't even received $187 billion, and there could be some sort of an audit that might say, where did this money go?
What in the world?
So why am I bringing this up? Well, here's a prime example of a government bail-in. They seized citizens' money in the form of not giving what was owed to them in the form of dividend payments. Plus, keep in mind, the stock dropped from $44 a share down to 60 cents. And when they announced, the Treasury announced this, the stocks recovered a little bit at $18. But right after the announcement, it went down to $5.50 and it's at $11.45 today. So the government has caused market loss and is not paying back the dividends. This is a private corporation that the government will not release from ownership. So this is very unheard of. They should have released it into out of receivership in 2015, and this is probably going to come up with Steve Mnuchin because he wants to deregulate some of the things that has been happening under the previous administration, which is when this has happened.
Yeah, and we've talked about these bail-ins in other countries around the world where the government just steps in, just takes citizens' monies to take care of its own problems. And here we see it again in the U.S. context, not paying them the dividends they were owed. And were there riots in the streets? Were there any big news stories on it? No, they just essentially got away with it. So hopefully Steve Mnuchin's going to bring that up, like you said, this Thursday. So what can people do right here at the end, David? How can they prepare for this type of stuff?
Well, they need to diversify because we will have inflation or a seizure. Get some precious metals and call our company at 844-879-8882 or go to landmarkgold.com and get some information from our company.
Awesome. David, thank you, as always, for guiding us down these difficult roads. We look forward to talking to you next Monday.
God bless you.
Okay, you too, buddy. Thanks. Have a great day. Thanks so much. Okay, friends, back tomorrow. J. Warner Wallace, Cold Case Christianity, an atheist homicide detective, comes to the inevitable conclusion the Gospels are true. We'll talk to Jay tomorrow. God willing.